Let me introduce myself. My name is Ralph Quint. I'm programming, started this computer 38 years ago. And basically when there was no real PC out there, basically 8-bit microcomputers like Apple II really came out the year after I started. And along the time, I basically came from software development into system administration, and at some point I also did embedded programming back in the 80s. At that point, there was not that many chips out there. Basically, Intel was a chip called 8051, similar to the processors that were in IBM PC, or Motorola, which was a big player back then, had certain chips. But I haven't played with this for a long time. So 2 years ago, I started looking into a new project doing home automation, like controlling lighting, controlling doors, sensors for gas sensors, light, or stuff like that. And this is how I got into Arduino, because I heard about this, and they were big then, basically becoming a buzzword. So I got interested in that, and I started looking at how I could use them. And by now, I brought on a bunch of toys there, basically about a dozen different ones, and probably 20 overall. So what a lot of people know these days is it's a buzzword. A lot of people that deal with embedded computing, they talk about it, but not everybody knows actually what they are. So the main point of the presentation will be to show you how they evolution, how they developed, and what are the latest of these boards are. In those 2 years since I started with Arduinos, there have been four complete new boards out, and there will be probably more coming in the future. Arduino started basically in Italy at a technical college near Torino in the town or city of Ivrea. And it came about because the students, they needed some prototyping board where they could basically build electronic stuff. And there was very few things out there, and those things that were available, like the basic stamp, which is a similar chip or concept as the Arduino has, it was very expensive. It was back then about $100. So they came up or were looking into ways to come up with a cheaper and open source, open hardware that is available to everybody, can reproduce it. While those basic stamps, they are proprietary. You get them only from one company, and only their software works with it. So they were basically looking into ways to make this cheaper and easier accessible. So Arduino is basically released as open hardware. So you probably have heard about open software, that software source code is available. You can look at it, you can make your own modification, you can copy it without restrictions. Similar applies to the concept of open hardware. CC, this is Commons is actually, Creative Commons. It's basically, this is the main license under which this is made available. Some of this has been a little bit leveraged in the latest ones. They are not as easily copyable anymore. The main thing also with Arduino is that the name Arduino itself is actually a trademark. And you will find a lot of similar boards, or there's a whole ecosystem out there which rides on the name Arduino. And you find a lot of other boards that will end in Eno, something like that, like Freeduino, Zanguino, and so forth. Because the basic hardware, the layout of the boards, and the programming of the chips, the programming environment, all of this is freely available for you. Basically, the Arduinos have also developed. They started in 2005, and basically the one here on the top left, this is the first Arduino board that was actually available outside of the college, and that was still using, unfortunately, I forgot my laser pointer, so I have to, hopefully you can see the mouse cursor when I move this here. This had basically a DB9 serial connector for the programming, some discrete parts on a layer board, and then there are some connectors on top and bottom. And they basically came through different revisions. They kept on changing things. At some point, basically, they changed from the DB9 serial connector to a USB connector. They added the pinout of the add-on connectors here changed at one point. And these are basically all previous boards that were available until about 2-3 years ago. Yes. Okay, yeah, this is a little bit stupid because I have a different display here than on there. Now, as I said, they kept changing there was evolution in the boards, and the current standard board is the Arduino Uno. This is basically the board here also that Maurice was using here in this little example. This is basically the standard, the reference board right now, after which everything else is measured on in terms of being compatible. It's also the easiest one to use if somebody wants to get started with Arduinos, of the way how it's laid out with the chip. You can, on this one here, you can also, this is the main processor here, and on this board that have the DIL chip here, you can actually replace it. So if you, during experimentation, you would fry this chip, you can replace it, and you don't have to completely discard the whole board. While all newer chips are nowadays SMD mounted, and you cannot replace them anymore. They're basically, the current was called Revision 3. This refers to the pin layout and the programming environment in general. There's also something called Arduino version 1, which refers to the shields. I should have grabbed something before here. So shields is basically a way to extend the Arduinos with all kinds of functionality. For example, what I have here, this is an Ethernet shield. This is basically an add-on board that you can plug in into this extended headers. And this provides you then, yeah, the problem is when I can't get my laptop. So this would basically, if you want to network your Arduino, a way that you can connect this to a regular Ethernet network. One of the big buzzwords that has come up in the last year and a half is the Internet of Things, that you basically have microcontrollers like Arduinos or similar, like Raspberry Pi might be something that you have heard of, or BeagleBone, that you have those devices directly connected to the Internet. How usable this really is a different question, because it's also security issues, so everything that is on the Internet can possibly be exploited. So, but on the other side, there are things that gives you new possibilities. And you basically have almost endless possibilities by getting all kinds of these shields. This is a standard shield that actually Arduino themselves developed. It also provides, for example, an SD card reader where you can store data that you would from sensors, for example, read on an Arduino, and you can store it on there. And this whole pinout is basically standardized. So everybody can make shields for this or boards that can use existing shields and be extended this way. The core of an Arduino, that is, as I said, the an Atmel at 80Mega328 RISC microcontroller unit. And the difference between a microcontroller and a microprocessor is that a microcontroller contains more parts that are usually separate on a regular computer system. If you have a regular computer, you have your CPU, your processing unit, you have your RAM, you have your data storage, or like hard drive, and you have some inputs, outputs, like a video interface, keyboard. All this in a microcontroller is contained within the chip itself. So you can basically, on the chip, so if you take this big chip, take this out and put this on a breadboard like this here, you basically all the functionality that you have, all the programming is contained in that chip. And if you basically can connect like an LED or a sensor to those pins of the chip itself through the breadboard or directly, everything that you need to run your application, your program, your sketch, as it's called within Arduino world, runs within that chip, and that chip is pretty much all you would need. So this has also led that while the Arduino Uno is relatively easy to extend, that you have boards like this, which basically doesn't have any of those headers where you can easily plug things in, but on the other side it's relatively compact, and this one, for example, has the same chip as an SMD mounted chip in there, which is not replaceable. And if you take it a little bit extreme, this is exactly the same thing. The only thing that is missing is basically it has a more limited way to connect power and connect to any input outputs on this one. But basically, if you want to build a robot like Maurice is trying to do with his group of students, they could use something like this, which you can easily hide somewhere inside, or one of the things that they come up with Arduinos, and I will show you some pictures of specialized Arduinos later, are wearable stuff that they put into clothing, or you can have a wristwatch. Theoretically, you could can build a watch out of one of those chips, and you basically, this is small enough. There are actually some that are slightly smaller than this even. So all that he actually does, what an Arduino does, is actually in that little chip in there. And there are just endless ways how you can connect this either as such a little board like this, or you have a larger one where you then also can, for example, connect something like this. This is a simple two-row LCD display with actually five directional keys down there, so that you can have actually a keyboard input. But everything that you have on inputs or outputs, you have to program. Microcontroller does not run any operating system. So the program that you write and upload, this is all it does. So here is basically a little bit schematics of what how an Arduino, of what part it consists and what all those different pins are. In the upper left, this is basically the chip itself with all the pins, and there are references when you would follow the colors. The pins on the chip have some are then corresponding outputs on those headers, where you would then plug a board like this with those pins in there to extend that. This is a 8-bit RISC processor. Pretty much all newer things, with one exception, where I have actually an exception here, are these days are RISC processors. And it's an 8-bit RISC processor which has 32 registers. So, and a lot of people, when they hear 8-bit, this is not your grandfather's or my childhood's 8-bit processor, like you know from a Apple II or Commodore or so forth, which had basically two registers only, or four on a Z80. And also this default speed on those is 60 megahertz. So the an Apple II basically was able to effectively run about 30,000 operations per second effectively. These do roughly 400,000. Yeah, they're different pins. You can program those pins. Some are only digital, only analog. Or you have digital pins that you can program as input, output, or analog. But this depends a little bit also on the chips. There are slight variations in the chips by now. As I said, there's an evolution on the chips, and they have different functionalities. So I don't know how well this is to see here. Basically, on the board here, these are the digital outputs on this side. These are all digitals. So these are digital outputs. And on this side, there are only analogs. And this is then for various powers and the serial ports, RS232. 232 serial port, which a lot of people don't even know these days anymore what it actually is. You get basically a big brother of the Arduino Uno. This is basically an Arduino Mega 2560. The main difference of this one is that it has, it's programming compatible, but it has more RAM, which is relative. It has a whopping 8 kilobytes of RAM, which you can use for data storage. And the difference on the main difference is it has 256 or 248 usable kilobytes of programming storage, where you can run your program in. Programming data, which is kind of flash ROM, and the static RAM, for the which basically would lose its contents when you turn it off, are far more restricted than on a regular PC. That's why I'm not making any mistake when I say kilobytes here. But nowadays, when you have a laptop, it's 6 gigabytes, it's minimum, and even a phone, basically, you have a gigabyte now, at least as RAM nowadays. But in the embedded world, this is 256 kilobytes of RAM, of raw flash ROM, and 8 kilobytes of RAM, quite a bit. Not necessarily enough if you start playing with displays or so forth. So this is why the output on Arduinos is usually restricted to more something like this, which is a two-line LCD display, and you do not have really full-scale video displays like you have on a PC. So between a PC and a microcontroller in terms of input-output are quite some differences in there. And in addition to the increased RAM and ROM, this also has additional headers. So this one has about 3 times effectively the input-output pins than Uno has, or this one here. Physically, it has even much less. Output pins. No. As I said, the output that you would have would be something through something like this, or have actually a touchscreen display there. He was asking if you can connect an output like a VGA interface, like a monitor to it. This is Arduino. Almost all Arduinos has a slight difference, which I come to a little bit later. You do not have any video output directly. I have for this board here specifically, I have an touchscreen LCD display. It's 320 by 200, I think. But you have to program every single pixel all the time. This is why the usable RAM, for example, if you would have a user interface, you text everything that you would display. You have to keep this in the RAM, everything that changes. And you are limited on this one. So the way how output works on an Arduino is completely different than it works on a PC. So here I have the same display here picture. It's just the same thing as I have here. And here's also then the pinout of those. And you see there's a whole bunch more. This additional connector down here. This also has 3 RS. 232 serial ports instead of the one that you have on an Uno. So if you have devices that actually need, for example, sensors that need to come through RS-232 and not through direct input-output pins, you have more capabilities to connect that to the Mega. And something like this, I told Maurice earlier, an Uno like you use for the school, if you just get the board directly from China, they cost about $15. Standard price for an Uno is about $25. This cost here, I can get those for $18 in China, regular price if you buy them here in the United States as officially made in Italy, which this one is actually a fake. This is from China, but it says in the back, made in Italy. But it works perfectly, so it's not a fake in terms of not working. And this costs $18, and a regular one is about $45. As I said, the Arduinos keep constantly evolving, and one of the newer ones, which came about, about 2.5 years ago, just shortly before I started playing with Arduinos, is the Arduino Leonardo. Their main change is that they used a different chip for the actual USB interface that is used to program and, in certain cases, power the Arduino. And so that's where they used changed the chip from an ATmega 328 to a 32 or a chip called 32U4. It's basically, if you program it from the processor codes and everything, it's all the same. But what it gives you, it has a built-in USB controller, which is only necessary or important from the way how you connect it to the programming. And as an advantage, it gives you, instead of 2 kilobytes, they increase it to 2.5 kilobyte of RAM. So that might get some programs working that didn't work on an Uno, but it's still very little compared to what you are used to from programming on a PC. One slight problem is that they also change some of the pinouts. Commonly, they use PWM, pulse width modulation, to control electronic devices like an LED. There are two general ways how you can control voltage or electrical power to a device. It's either by increasing the voltage level. But the problem is, if you basically do that, you have a loss of energy because you need to have a PODI, which is basically burning the energy to put it away. So you have only a limited amount of power actually reaching the device that you are controlling. While pulse width modulation works with a constant voltage level, and it's just turning on and off in short pulses the power. And basically, this way, for example, if you turn a motor, basically, once a motor is turning, you just need to give it once in a while a little kick to keep it running. And if you want to run it faster, you just increase the intervals or the length of the intervals. And if you basically want to run it slower, you just make those intervals shorter or increase the time between the power intervals that you achieve. And there were some changes, basically, on which pin you can control the PWM properly, or so there are slight differences. A program, a sketch that runs on an Uno is not 100% guaranteed to run on a Leonardo or the other way around. But these are usually minor changes. Otherwise, from the shields, the connection, everything, they are completely compatible. I actually use most of the time actually Leonardo when I'm playing around. And I can use the same shield, everything that fits on an Uno, also on an Leonardo. So here's, I don't, might not be that interesting here for most people here, the pinout on the Leonardo. And then I have here a slide that basically outlines some of the differences between an Uno and a Leonardo with the 25% more RAM. But that might be relative, as I said. And as I said, some sketches are different, and there's an I2C, a special interface, which is also can be used for remote programming without actually having the USB port. For this, you need a bootloader on it, but to program the chip itself, this is done through a interface called I2C. I have the explanation for that in the glossary at the back. And there are also the serial port. There's basically a slight change, basically, how this is handled between the Leonardo and the Uno. So here, basically, this shows you, basically, of those three boards, what processor they're using, the voltage. This is also something that is kind of important. Those three Arduinos work basically with a very wide range, relatively, of input power. Anything from 5 volt to 12 volt. I played with Maurice's setup here. I'm using a 9 volt block battery. I can use this easily to power up an Arduino when it's not connected to the computer because they are supposed to run independently. On some of the newer boards, if you do that, you fry the boards because they are more sensitive to that. And these are basically, these are the three reference and let's say bread and butter of Arduinos. So if anybody usually is referring to Arduino, you've seen a tutorial about Arduino, it's usually referring to either an Uno or Leonardo. And everything else that comes after that has to go back and needs to be compatible kind of to what an Uno or Leonardo does. But there are a whole lot of different Arduino chips. As I said, I have this one here. This is an Arduino Pro Mini. This is actually the one in the middle up there. The Nano on the left side is actually slightly smaller, this is a little bit slimmer, and it has actually, on the other side, it has a USB port at the bottom there where you can actually program it, which makes it easier than actually this one. I was actually buying this because there was on March 26th was Worldwide Arduino Day. Now every day has some, like last Saturday was, I think, National Donut Day or something like that. And I got this for $3. So I thought, okay, I have to look at maybe at some point I can use it, and but just kind of looking into it, and so for $3 I can get one of those. Then another one is what I mentioned in the one at the bottom. This is a LilyPad. It's actually it's endorsed by Arduino, but it's actually made by a company in New York called Adafruit, and they started to make what's called variables, like putting these pads. This is actually kind of almost flexible. And the connection around the outer side, between these holes, they are supposed to be connected with a conductive thread. So you can put this into clothing. You could put sensors, for example, temperature sensors in a jacket. And if you have, let's say, a thermo jacket that could with heating elements, you could barely control this by an Arduino. Or a stupid example that they made, basically, they connected this to a GPS receiver, basically and shield a board like this, similar, but just a breakout board. But actually, a GPS module these days is actually smaller than this. And they connected this to a lily pad, and they basically had LEDs in the brims of a jacket put in there, and those would light up as soon as you were standing in front of an Apple store. So I would probably make them red and warn people not to go in there, but what you can do with Arduinos is pretty much limited almost only by your imagination, what you can do with it. So it has the limitations, but how you use them, that's pretty much of what you can come up with. The whole Arduinos or the scene, the people playing with Arduinos, this is called maker community. So the focus of people that playing with Arduinos is that you make things, so that you do not have a ready-made off-the-shelf product, but you have just the parts to make whatever you want to make yourself. So, and this can be something as simple as having just a demo that lights up some LEDs, which I'm going to turn on here a little bit later, or that people, now 3D printing has become a little bit of a big issue recently. A lot of 3D printers that you can also build yourself, they are controlled, the motion of extruder parts, or controlling the heating of the extruder. This is controlled by one or more Arduinos in most cases. Like Sanguino that I mentioned earlier, this is one Arduino where somebody said, okay, I need to have a different way how the pinout is laid out so I can put it into my 3D printer. And you can buy 3D printer sets which have basically those Sanguino Arduino compatible boards inside to control basically what you do with the data that you feed it to print your 3D model on it. And one really odd board is basically here the Esplora. This is about the size of a Nintendo gamepad, and that's actually what it's supposed to do. This is supposed to be for a programmable gaming console. You can your own little gaming console that you can play with it. There are some guys I wanted to actually maybe to have a presentation about that. Some people, they put basically a joystick and the TV output that they're programmed completely with the Arduino, all the RC signals for an RCA output on a TV, they program this all with the pins of an Arduino, and they basically have an old-style game console, like you know from the late 70s, like your Atari console, where you were playing Pong and Invaders, Space Invaders, and all these, a whole bunch of games, all done with one of those little Arduinos, and they put this basically in a little Tupperware box with the joystick on top. And if you have a battery in there, you can actually take it around as if it wouldn't be for the fact that you would have a connection to the TV. That's what I mentioned earlier. Microcontrollers usually do not have any operating system. So if you give me a few more minutes, okay, that will be covered. Right. More question?
No, just the practicalities.
Okay, now I will get to this in a bit. Okay, here's a list basically of the most common of those Arduinos. And I will make either through Morris or make the slides available, so if you're interested in actually all the data. These are basically some examples, and somewhat strange example on how you can stack all those shields. Basically, on this one, okay, now it's a LED display, it doesn't make sense to put another shield on top of it, then you cannot see the output of the LCD display, but for example, you could put the LCD on top of this Ethernet shield here. I don't want to stick it in right now here. And then you could plug those two together on another chip, and theoretically, depending on how many chips you shields you have here, you could stack them literally like you have this there on the picture, and each of those shields could have a different functions. And there are literally thousands of those out. There's a link basically also in the glossary to a site where some guy in Australia tries to collect the info, especially also the pinout info, because you have only a limited number of pins on all the boards that are available. I think there's probably about, I would say, 10 to 20 each week that get added, and last time I checked it was something like 500 something different boards. There are probably a few thousands out there that you can buy ready-made. Or you can actually get boards which have a breadboard, shields that have a breadboard on top, where you can try start building your own circuit on it. So as I said, how fancy you want to get on that, that just all depends on how, let's say, skilled you are, how much you want to learn maybe about electronics. For me, I would use mainly ready-made shields. But other people, they might even go ahead and design their own shields. Here's a few more of those that are out there. Basically, they have the LCD display. This on the upper left right, upper left side. This is basically the Ethernet shield. On the lower right, this is something like, it's a relay shield. If you, for example, want to control lighting or so forth, you have to go on voltages higher than the 5 volt that runs on an Arduino. And if you put on any of the pins 120 volt out of your main circuit, you will see a short smoke cloud coming out. And I have been told that they manufacture those parts only with a limited amount of smoke inside. And once this is gone, the device is unusable after that. Don't know if that's the right inspection. So for this, you use opto couplers that basically separate the high voltage, 120 volts or more, from ever getting to the shield. On the other side, it allows you to switch on and off basically high voltage circuits, which you could use then for even things like garage doors or whatever, wherever you have a voltage more than the 5 or actually up to 12 volts that most shields or boards can. Well, this is where you have these black blocks. This basically the optocoupler was called an optocoupler. They basically handle that the voltage, the 120 volt, doesn't get on the other side. I have seen on a lot of on certain online forums regarding Arduinos, and I've seen people posting questions. Oh, I connected this to my 48 volt boat battery and was wondering why the chip had little craters on them. They didn't realize that you actually have to properly separate them. I'm not an electronic engineer myself, I know the basics probably enough to that I, in one case, in some cases, might stay safe, and in some cases, I might be in danger of possibly frying something. But for most things, if you work with shears and you know you, for example, to use a relay shear like this, that you are reasonably safe. Now we get to what Gilbert was asking. The second part that is referred to as Arduino is the Arduino IDE. That's the programming environment. They used actually an IDE that was used for a different open source project called Processing. And the programming language that Processing used was called Wiring. Don't ask me why they come up with those strange names, but it's integrated development environment. Well, this is basically the programming environment. You have an editor. This is basically a text area where you edit your program code. And then you have an option. You can basically, this is a code that before the demonstration started here was earlier this. This one looks like disconnected here. Where Maurice had basically this contraption that they built here at school to light up those LEDs, which I'm going to hook up here in a minute. And this is a program basically that makes those LEDs light up. This is exactly the program code for that. And this will then get, you can just verify, and you can, which verify means actually just compile the code within your computer. This happens on the PC. And then you upload it. So uploading happens by connecting the Arduino to your USB port on your computer. Unless you have this one here where you have to go a different way because it doesn't have a USB port on it. Simply space reasons. But for all practical purposes, it's the same. You have to a USB connector connected to your Arduino, and on the Arduino they contain within the ROM, the flash ROM, a small program that is called a bootloader. It's actually a reserved space even on the microcontroller, which is that it cannot be overwritten, and actually that basically communicates with your computer and receives the bytes from the compiled code and puts it in the right place in the flash ROM, where it's then executable. Yeah, it's not really. You can, if you basically go with an I2C connector directly on the pins, you can program this directly without the bootloader. You can switch off this the bootloader. You do not have to have it. Some people, because you are limited on the program space, the 28 kilobyte on one of those, they said, okay, I need 29. A lot of times when the people are a little bit more advanced, they say, okay, I get rid of the bootloader and upload it the alternative way. You do not have to have that. Consider basically the bootloader as this is a library that gets loaded but is already there. So they're basically to it's not really an operating system that is running there. Yeah, but you can do this without the bootloader. This is just a convenience.
But the bootloader does that.
Yeah. Okay. But it's only there actually for convenience. You do not actually have to have that. So from Gilbert, the last question was pretty much about how to actually program an Arduino. You connect this to... But you need this only to connect this to upload actually your code once you have written and compiled. Then you upload it. As I said, using the USB port, it's just a convenient thing. There's a different way going directly onto the pins of the processor to basically program a flash ROM. It's basically a similar way like in the old days when you were programming EEPROMs or EEPROMs, where you had an EEPROM burner. The same process, basically, or very similar process, you can do this on those chips that is built into the chip itself, and you would just have to connect to directly to the pins. That you use a USB port like this, it's just a convenience thing. As I said, this one doesn't have a USB port, so you don't have any other choice but going directly onto two of those pins and upload this literally byte for byte, the code of the program that you want to run. I would just have to use a special cable and connect this to this one. This is, I actually don't have it yet. That's why I haven't actually done with anything with this one yet. So the programming language, or the IDE that they use basically from the processing project, is basically Java based. So, which sometimes causes problems because there's a big scare, scare people shitless about Java is so insecure and you're exploited and blah, blah, blah. It's just a lot of panic making out there. Java has quite useful uses and using cross-platform as a base for a cross-platform IDE is one of those things. So the basic IDE that looks the same, works the same, you can run this. I have here now a Windows PC. I have a Linux PC where I can run it on, or if somebody has a Mac, they can download also the Mac version on it because it runs on top of Java. The program is exactly the same. The only difference is, especially on a Mac, you have sometimes more problems actually on the USB port to have the Mac recognizing that there's a device plugged in onto the USB port because it's not really a keyboard or a scanner or a mouse, what Apple usually is expecting. Apple is not really into open hardware, so you have sometimes a little bit problems getting those things recognized. The actual programming language, even Arduino, they say that it is its own programming language. It's actually bullcrap. Sorry for being so blunt here. It's actually GCC, Common Linux-based C++ compiler, where we just choose the target for the Atmel processor, or actually there are Arduinos which have an ARM chip, which I was going to present a little bit later on. They just switch basically depending on where you choose in the IDE. Let me get back here the program example. This is basically the code of from Maurice, and I had earlier, well, last time I had here Leonardo connected where it says it's connected on COM4. You can basically select on which board you want to generate the code for. And you see there's a whole bunch of them. Even the older one, like something like Due Milanova, which is 2009 on Italian, just like when that particular board came out, but it's a predecessor of the Uno. And then if you have a different option right now, it recognizes there's nothing connected, so it doesn't show me the port. I at some point had all three USB ports connected and had three different devices on there, and you can barely select on which port. It shows up as a COM port where it's connected, and you just have to make sure you have the selected right board. I'm going to try and use this here right now for the using Maurice's Arduino Uno. On the tight space here. I'm not sure if here my antivirus is kicking in that it doesn't allow to access that. But if I basically select here, and yeah, here I chose an hour up as COM5 to 6 was here. And now I could basically, usually you would first verify the code. And then you can basically, yeah, okay, I was a message on this screen, so I didn't see that. Because this is an extended secondary monitor. So, and one difference, for example, from the IDE that you use there, the old one, this one gives you a little bit more information about the sketch, especially because you have a limited amount of RAM on it. This tells you exactly how much RAM you're using and how much is left, which the old IDE, the 1.5, that you're using there is not showing you. So I would actually recommend using the beta version, which supports the newer boards and has some additional features. It's nothing wrong, absolutely nothing wrong with using the beta version. They should actually cancel beta and make it a full version 1.6 and get rid of the old one that you had on yours. And then you basically can upload it. This was basically, as I said earlier, with the bootloader, go bit for byte for byte, basically uploads the code, and the bootloader on the other side is then just retrieving and make sure it's in the right space, and then it will actually execute the code. You see now, so I think we accidentally disconnected here some pins here, so it's not all the pins are lighting up here right now, but basically this goes basically does that, and after this, once this is uploaded, the only reason why we have that cable here connected is just to have power for the device. If I unplug this here, and I plug here my 9-volt battery in here, so there's no computer involved here right now, it's just the battery, and this will now run. There's no operating system or anything, there's nothing that would stop it. This will run for all eternity, or until the battery runs out, whatever happens first. And this is basically the loops of the code here. You know, it's within the IDE here. So every program code, or every sketch, what is called, what they call a program on an Arduino, has two fixed procedures or programs. One is called setup, and one is called loop. Setup is basically done to, if you need anything that puts the board into a specific status, like for example, the usual way how you, because you do not have a display, you don't know what's actually happening on the board itself. So if you want to get any feedback back to the computer, like debugging printouts, you can use what's called a serial console. There will be serial commands which go, in this that case, usually through the USB port, back to the computer, and you can see basically textual output. You could basically, like you would write a printf command, you could put basically a print line statement, serial.println, and give output back that you see on the serial port. But for the serial port to work, you need to initialize it, you need to tell it the baud rate at which it should run, and that is something you would do in the setup port, or you have sensors that you want to basically calibrate or put into a defined state before your program actually runs, or you want to load data. Arduinos have actually a third type of RAM. They have 1 kilobyte or 2 kilobyte of the bigger boards of EEPROM. RAM, these 2 or 8 kilobytes that would get wiped out as soon as you disconnect the power. The flash ROM, like you saw here with the code, this stays operational even if the power gets disconnected. And likewise, the EEPROM, you can store some data in there. You just have a limited amount of write cycles to it. But for example, if you have a counter that you want to run for a while, basically while it's running, it counts, and then you save the data once in a while in there. You turn the device off by disconnecting power, and next time you want to start it and continue where you left off the last time, you can, in the setup procedure, basically load those values into the variables of your program and continue from there. And the second is then the loop. This is basically literally a loop. This is a part that will run forever. And all that, actually those two procedures or codes are, or functions are, this is basically an include file into a main file of a C or C++ file, and that is basically what the GCC compiler behind it is actually compiling, where it's actually not their own programming language as they claim. It's just GCC with an Atmel or ARM backend which generates the code then for the processor that you select. Probably the reason why they don't say we are using C++ compiler is because you cannot use C++ in the way you can use it on a regular computer because of the amount of RAM that you have. If you dynamically, for example, would create objects, you don't have the space for that. Or virtual memory tables, method tables, and so forth that would not be possible on these kind of boards. So this is why they backtracked a little bit on that and claimed this is their own language. But in the back, it's just GCC C++ compiler. Theoretically, you could use even an Atmel assembler to it and generate the code in assembler language, or what I'm actually trying to do probably as soon as I get a little bit time, I will make a Pascal compiler that generates code for the Atmel processor so that I can use a different programming language. I just have to recreate whatever they did as a basic for the basic libraries in C++ in a different language or in assembler. You would have to do even without that. This was basically what I usually want to show. Everybody knows probably Hello World, which is the first program that most people write when they write in any programming language. Comes originally from Koenig and Ritchie in the C programming language. Now, on an Arduino, you don't have a display, so you cannot write out Hello World. So the equivalent of that is every Arduino has one LED built in, which is connected to pin 13. And the equivalent of Hello World on an Arduino is have the LED on pin 13 blink. And this is basically the code where I put a lot of more comments in there, which shows basically what each of those parts do. And again, you have two parts. One is basically the setup, and then the loop, which actually turns the LED on by putting a certain pin on in high state. Delay for a second, put that pin on low, so that means it's barely turned off. Wait another second, and that would basically pin. And actually, beside those alternate lights, they're actually flashing pin 13 as well. You see that little yellow light on the board here? That is pin 13, and that is actually blinking in exactly the same rhythm there. Well, they use the blue and white. Yeah, you see down here at the bottom where they are not lit up because I accidentally disconnected here one of the pins. This is basically this is just blue LEDs and yellow LEDs. There are tri-state LEDs, RGB LEDs, which basically you can change basically the power to them, and by the power level that they have, they change their color. And you can basically have one LED and you can make it pretty much any color you want. This is basically what you see on those advertising boards that are LED-based, like Hollywood and Highland, that big banner. Those banners, these are tri-state LEDs, and there you can basically change the power that you give to each LED, and that makes it light up in an RGB mode and gives you basically the color code. It's similar like you would put an RGB code on a display pixel on a screen. You just select the RGB red, green, or blue values, and out of that, basically, the LED will light up in a certain color. So, and every board, basically, every Arduino has this LED on pin 13. So if you basically, the first thing that you try, usually when you try to get started, compile that program and upload it to your Arduino. This is the simple text. Even they recommend it if you sometimes you, let's say you screwed up your sketch and it's running haywire, it's doing things it shouldn't be to wipe it out. The easiest thing is just go to the examples, load that blinker, load this, compile this, load this up, and you have a very defined state of your Arduino again. As I said, there is no operating system like where you could load or give commands where you load another program or so forth. This all has to be uploaded and programmed from the computer. As I said, as soon as you have it disconnected from a computer, you cannot change anything on the code that is on that board. As I said, that will run forever, almost. So everything to make a change to the program, you would then have to go into the IDE in your computer, upload it, load the program, make whatever changes are necessary, compile it, and upload it to the board again. Well, you could do that basically by connecting a speaker, piezo, to it. Or with the lights, yeah. That would be then Hello World too. So as I said, there were a lot of new or a lot of development in the world of Arduino. And about a year ago, year and a half ago, they came out with the first Arduino which does not use this 8-bit RISC chip. Instead, they're using a 32-bit ARM processor or based on 32-bit ARM. ARM themselves, they don't make any chips. They give you just a blueprint for the chip, and you can make it your own by adding a lot of stuff around it. And Atmel went, they took the same, the basic core for the Cortex M3 is a common core of the ARM chip, put their, basically, the I.O. capabilities of the other Atmel chips that they have around it, and this is basically what's then called the SEM3X. And this is a 32-bit RISC processor which has way more RAM and runs also on a higher... and so this has 96 kilobytes of RAM instead of the two that a regular Arduino Uno has. It has 512 kilobytes of flash RAM, and it has pretty much the same I.O. Capabilities than as the Arduino Mega, which uses the 8-bit RISC processor. So if you reach basically kept processing limits with this one, you can upgrade to this one, and your code will pretty much, you just have to recompile it when you upload it for the ARM processor, and it will run the same thing on that one. Then a fancy new thing, I spoke with Gilbert during the break with it. Intel wanted to get in the mix. They felt a little bit out, left out, because they were covering pretty much PCs. Every PC, almost every PC out in the world is running an Intel chip these days. But in the embedded world, Intel was left out. They used to have one of the early chips, the 8051. That's one of the things where I started with when I did embedded programming. But after that, they never got really into this game. So they came out and created their own board, their own chips, which you see this little green one there in the middle. And it has the same Arduino-compatible connectors that you see on the right side, top and bottom, where you can connect those shields to it. They added built-in Ethernet to it, and it has an SD card on the lower corner and actually on the back of it. I don't think I have a picture of this here, but I can show it on the example that I have there. They even have a PCIe slot like you have in their laptops. Main use for that is that you will have wireless connectors or wireless boards for it. Signaling me here that we're running low on time. Then very new, this is basically just a couple of weeks ago announced, they came out with a new board which has the size of a Uno, which is also based on a slightly different ARM chip. So they are probably moving more and more away from those 8-bit RISC processors. One side effect of that is you cannot easily build this your own because all these parts are surface mounted. It's much more harder to create even the layout boards, everything. The tolerances that you're playing with are much more restricted than before. A nice feature that this new board will have is that you can actually for the first time do embedded debugging. So it has a special interface where you can actually see the running code on the board itself, which in a setup like this you cannot do. You cannot see actually the code that is running on there. But here you can really go on the processor, you see every register, see the memory contents. You can run this on a debugger like you would do on a regular PC program if you're not programming in JavaScript or whatever. So this is what this board will look out like. And here are some general information about those three boards. Then they announced last year a very interesting new board, which is changing a little bit of what I said earlier, that there is no Arduino which has a video output. There will be one. Actually, the first 50 P-series samples were available now for beta tests of developers. You had to sign up, and you could actually buy them. That was a point where it got me my desinterest, because those things they sold them for €149, which is $205. And that part is the, okay, I'm going to skip over the yuan here for now. That is the Arduino tray. This has a 1 gigahertz ARM processor. Actually, this board is a, it's basically the middle. This is basically an Arduino Leonardo, which I have one over there. And on the outside, left and right, they put a board called the BeagleBone Black. BeagleBone is another one of those embedded microcomputer manufacturers, actually also an open source, open hardware organization. It's actually an outfit from Texas Instruments. And the BeagleBone is basically the same league as the Raspberry Pi, was somebody asked me about. And this one has, when you see on the left side there, it says it has an HDMI port. So we get 1920 by 1080 full HD video output. You have USB ports where you can actually plug a keyboard in. And this is barely two computers. There are two processors in one. As I said, it has the Leonardo part, which has its own Atmel chip. And you can basically, with the I.O. connectors, you see there were these Arduino shield signals or Arduino connectors. We can plug up one of those or those shields in there. And at the same time, you have the ARM RISC processor, which runs a Linux version. There's a full-blown Linux on there. And this one is the one that has the video output. So you can talk between those two. There's a special connection. It's actually a serial connection that they call the bridge. They haven't been a little been detailed about this, how this is on the tray, but on the Yun, where I actually skipped over, which has a similar concept in a second, where they have the serial connection where you can exchange data between those two processors, and they run completely concurrent. So you can have the Leonardo part receive your let's say sensor data or control things, and on the Linux part, you can have your user interface. The Arduino Yun that I skipped over, you have a web interface only. It has a little built-in web browser or web server where you can create web pages over there. On this one, you would have the opportunity to full-blown graphical interface like you use on a computer. So, but with $200, the two parts, the Leonardo and the BeagleBone Black, which is based on, together are about $70. And selling this for $200, I think, is a little bit beyond what even the convenience having this in one board makes out. So, but this is basically where a lot of this is going to. And between this and what they came out now with the Arduino Zero, there's basically endless possibilities where this can go on and what you can do with it.